Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're live in the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios on CBS Sports Radio. I'm Pharrell along with Mafia. 855-212-4CBS, O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices. Every day, 855-212-4227. So don't forget, we put a podcast out after every show and the following day on Twitter at OnTheBenchCBS and at Scott Pharrell. We also put it on Facebook.com/PharrellOnTheBench and on our homepage on the network website, which is OnTheBenchCBS.com. So there you go. So James Harden finally worked out with Chris Paul and the rest of his team in Vegas. This is like a few days ago, last week even, but Harden said that the workouts went really well and that he talked about how smart CP3 is. And he thought, playing alongside him, it's just the way he sees things, the way he makes things happen. He's kind of turned on by it, obviously, as a player. When you got a guy like that on your team, it makes you step your game up even more. Harden talked about today that his new fat $228 million mega extension will not have an impact on who he is. If you believe that, does someone really get $228 million and it doesn't affect them at all? At all? The money won't change me or do anything for me. Sure. Yeah, okay. Obviously, it's a credit to my work ethic. I'll give you that. And me being in the gym and the people that I have around me. But it doesn't change anything. I'm here for these kids. I'm here to be a positive role model to whoever I come in contact with. Yeah. If you believe that. So I do believe he wants to be a good person and good for the kids and good in the community and everything else. I just don't know how. Mafia, do you think if you got $228 million extension doing anything that it wouldn't have any effect on you whatsoever at all? Like completely? Just nothing? It's just the money means nothing to me? That's such BS.
You know, it's easy to say that money changes everybody, but the guy was already making a ton of money anyway. It's not like this guy just went, you know, this isn't a guy who just got drafted and all of a sudden he's making $42 million a year.
So you don't think he thinks, I just got $228 million and I'm just, that's it. I'm set for life. I don't have to do anything now. I just go play basketball. I got this money. Boom, I'm banking it. It's over. I'm good to go. You don't think that changes anybody? You got to be kidding me. Name one person that you've ever met in your life that didn't want to make more money.
Everybody wants to make more money. I'm not saying he's not going to want to make more, but I mean, what's it going to change him? It's not like this guy has been known as the hardest worker in the NBA, and he's a great leader. People have always said he doesn't play defense, and he doesn't care. I mean, after they lost
Game 6, he doesn't show up.
Right, he got blown out in Game 6 and then was out partying afterwards. So it's not like this guy has been, the ideal NBA player in everyone's mind, the perfect prototype for how you should be.
Did he not quit money in Game 6?
That's what it certainly seemed like. I mean, the guy put up nothing. This guy barely shot in the first half, and he was a guy that was in the running for MVP of the whole league.
Yeah, I never thought that he was in the same realm this year, to be honest with you, as Westbrook, with all of his triple doubles and breaking the Big O's record. I really thought that once he did that and had all that triple double action going and that kind of vig, that he was going to win that thing. I mean, every single night he was having a triple double and breaking records. You just can't deny that. So I thought he was going to get it all along. But I think Harden's a great player. There's no denying that. But maybe you're right. Maybe it'll never change him. I just don't know how anyone could make that kind of money, and it didn't change him. He said that D'Antoni, that he knows how his players feel, and that's the best thing about him. He's Never felt better. It's the best I've felt in a long time. The last year and a half with D'Antoni as his head coach. That's pretty high praise for a guy that Melo couldn't stand him. Do you remember that? Melo couldn't stand D'Antoni in New York. He ran him out of here. And he's always said he never wanted to be a coach killer. But he was exactly that with D'Antoni, wasn't he? Now the talk of him going to play there has been percolating for a while now. Now we're hearing that it's on hold and all this other nonsense. Do you think Melo could play with Harden and CP3 and ignore his past with D'Antoni and just completely forget about it and play for him, no problem?
I think so. I mean, when it's a guy that lets you play exactly how you want to play, it's all about, I don't care about defense, just run up the court, take some shots, and have some fun. That fits him perfectly. That's what Melo is. He's a guy who likes to just put the ball up. Now, you know, he's not going to have as many shots, obviously, playing with Harden and CP3. But, I mean, at this point in his career, you think he wants to be with a rebuilding team, you know, where he's got to somewhat hand over the reins to Kristaps Porzingis because that's the guy they're really building around? No. He wants to still be, you know, a great player, still have fun, and most importantly, wants to win. The guy's getting tired of even not making the playoffs in New York or making the playoffs all those years out in the West and just getting knocked out early on. He wants to be on a team that's finally a contender. He wants to get that ring before he goes. That's the only thing that's eluded him. He has medals. He has an NCAA tournament win. He just doesn't have an NBA ring.
But do you notice that he's got bad relationships? Like, all the players love him and everything, but he hated D'Antoni and he hated Phil Jackson. That's just all there is to it.
Yeah. I mean, he's had problems. He had issues with coaches out in Denver at points, too, if I remember correctly. So, obviously, like you said, he doesn't want to be known as a coach killer, but he's been in that position where the coach has been fired many times in his tenure, or the president. You know, people involved, people over him that have been arguing with him have been kicked out the door a bunch of times. So, even though he doesn't want to be known as that, it's going to follow him no matter what. But you know what? If it's getting out of New York and it's getting away from James Dolan and the mess that is the Knicks, I think he'll make up with D'Antoni easily.
But don't you think they're playing games with him in New York? I mean, the guy is, for 2 years, they've been talking about trading him, literally. Finally, you get the guy to say he'll waive his no trade to go to Houston or Cleveland. And you finally get rid of the guy that he can't stand. Then the talks intensify with Houston. Then Mills goes out and gets Perry, the Kings guy, to be their GM in New York to work alongside Mills and take orders from Dolan. And now they're thinking about not trading him. Like, bottom line is they're just messing with him. It's like 1 minute they're going to get rid of him. He finally agrees to it. And now they don't want to get rid of him because what? They don't have the right deal in place or the right pieces in place or the right three or four teams involved in the deal to make it happen. And basically they're going to, it would sound to me like tonight that they're going to keep him in prison in New York. That's what it is.
It seems like it. I mean, honestly, they've all been playing games with each other. Of course, we don't necessarily blame Melo for how he handled things when Phil was here because Phil was just treating him like dirt. But forever, all the mentions of Phil wanting to get rid of him, Melo said, I'm not leaving. I don't want to leave New York. I got my no trade. You can't kick me out. Now all of a sudden they get rid of Phil and he says, okay, I'll go wherever, you know, I'll go to Houston or Cleveland. Let's go. Let me go there. I want to go win the ring. So this guy who was all about New York and never wanted to leave New York all of a sudden flipped the second Phil was gone too. So he's been playing games. And you know what? You're going to waive the no trade, but it's only to those two teams. There's other teams that could be contenders if they add you. But he's only going to go to the two teams where they don't have players that the Knicks really want that don't add up to the value that he has for this franchise. So I can understand them pulling back and saying, you know what? It's not worth it.
Did you see that, you know, Klay Thompson's dad, Michael Thompson, said that he thinks that the Rockets can beat the Warriors. He's not necessarily saying that they can beat them, but he's saying, you know, overtake them, no. But can they be a threat to the Warriors? He believes so, as long as they, it would sound to me like, get Melo. So they already have Harden, CP3. You add Melo to that, and he's like, they can be a threat. Do you believe that they could be a threat with Melo on that team, with Melo, as opposed to just Harden and CP3. Harden and CP3, I still don't think they can dance with the Warriors. If the Warriors are healthy with what they brought back and what they have already, and I've always said they should have won all three of them, all three titles they should have won. They blew the 3-1 lead. But they, whatever, they didn't. They won 2 of 3. So they're coming in heavy favorites again. I don't think Harden and CP3 can beat them. I don't. And if you add Melo, it might change things and make them tougher and certainly give them more of a problem, because you could have 2 of the 3 guys going off every night and you can win any game if you get 2 guys going off at that. We know all too well. We had a kid drop 45 on us in 27. They beat us. They put 72 of the 80 points up. You get 2 guys going off like a Melo and a Harden, or a Melo and a CP3, or a CP3 and a Harden. You get 2 guys, all 3 guys are going off, you're going to win. If all 3 guys are going off for 30 points, you're going to win the game. Do you think they can do it with Melo?
I think they can give them some tough games, but I don't think they'd be a real threat to beat them in a 7-game series. No, because first of all, we were just talking about that coach, and that coach and his style has never been in championship games. It's never been in, you know, playing for the NBA Finals, because eventually you have to play defense. The West has always been known for offense. There's always been run-and-gun teams in the West. But the one team that's been consistent the last 20 years in the playoffs and as a contender and has won titles is who? The Spurs. And why? Because they're the only team in the West who played defense. So when it comes down to it, you need to play defense in the biggest games, because that's what beat the Cavs. The Warriors were a great scoring team. We know that. All those guys could put the ball in the hole. But the problem for the Cavs wasn't scoring. It was shutting down that team. You have to play defense to win. And the Cavs could not stop KD. They could not stop, you know, Curry. They could not stop enough guys so that their scoring was better than the other teams. So when you have Houston, you have 3 guys that can score 30 points a game, great. But when they're going to give up 30 points a game to 4 guys on the other team, you still lose the game.
Would you have done the deal for Paul George for Klay Thompson?
No. Why did they need that deal? You, like you said, you won 2 out of 3, and you should have won all 3. You're the only super team in the NBA. You have 2 MVPs on your team. Do you really need to improve upon it? I don't think so. If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Here's Mary Ellen in D.C. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, how you doing tonight?
Average.
Average. Well, I'm going to screw it up because I'm talking baseball.
Jesus.
I know.
All right, so what's up?
Tonight with the Nats, the Bryce Harper hit combined 850 feet of home runs.
Right.
And I was just wondering, you know, everybody's looking for bullpen help. There's not a glut of bullpen help out there. Is there going to be anything for the Nats to get?
They got more problems than that. I know Ross landed on the DL with an elbow. I think everyone in baseball wants better bullpens. They've already given up on Francisco Rodriguez. That didn't work out. They had him for all of about 2 weeks. So that's their issue. That's their biggest problem. They need more than one guy. They need 2 at least in that bullpen. So far, their bats have carried them. Scherzer and Strasburg and Gio have carried them. But that bullpen and that closer, they're just too shaky. They blow games. But look, you're still cruising. You're still in first. If that's all they have to do is worry about making that happen, I think that they can accomplish that. I think that they can make that happen. And I'm sure that they're talking to teams all over baseball to see what they can come up with. I wonder if, you know, because the Dodgers, they're, you know, allegedly all on Britain. I mean, I don't know if the Nats and Orioles would ever get together on something like that. That'd be a guy that, you know, they could maybe pull over there. I'm not putting it past them if they give them something in return that makes the Orioles better. I mean, they already have a great closer. They have a great guy. And if they could get a lot for him to help them with their problem, which is a clear-cut problem, and then the Orioles get deeper out of it, it would make sense to me. But the problem is, I don't think that they're, unless I'm mistaken, giving up on anything in terms of, you know, at this point, I don't think that they're ready to throw in the towel. I think in the East, they're dead. And frankly, they're only four games out in the wild card. There's a lot of teams still in that. Even, I think, down to about Toronto. You're four games out. That's nothing. You can make that up in the next 2 months, believe me. So all those teams, Toronto, Baltimore, Seattle's three out, Angels 2.5 out, Texas 2 out, Kansas City 1.5 out, Minnesota 1 out. All those teams are in it. There's no doubt about it. So it's not going to be easy to make deals happen for the Nats to get a guy on a team that still thinks that they have a shot at a wild card. I'm not feeling Baltimore, but don't tell me you can't make up that ground. It's only four games, so it's not over yet. 855-212-4227. Cleveland and Toronto, 6 seconds left in the Summer League game in Vegas. Tied at 73s. I've been watching this game. I've been watching a big fella out of North Carolina, Meeks, playing for Toronto, seeing what his game's like. Quarterfinals all day tomorrow in Vegas. So tons of baseball this weekend. Tampa and L.A. in Anaheim, San Francisco, San Diego. Bumgarner going tomorrow. St. Louis and Pittsburgh. Jameson, Tyone going. Seattle's on the south side of Chicago. Cleveland's in Oakland. Toronto's at Detroit. Washington's in Cincy. Philly in Milwaukee. And the north siders of Chicago in Baltimore at Camden. Get winners at PharrellOnTheBench.com for all the games. Get the best picks for every game every day at PharrellOnTheBench.com. That's PharrellOnTheBench.com. We have top shelf daily fantasy lineups for baseball that win people money. No one touches us in boxing or MMA picks. PharrellOnTheBench.com sets the standard for results and the best price in the world. Don't forget, pro football and college football are right around the corner doing push-ups. Sign up today at PharrellOnTheBench.com.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
855-212-4CBS. So Josh Bell hit a walk-off home run tonight for the Pirates, his first ever, and they beat the Cardinals. Yasiel Puig hit a 450-foot shot in the fifth, and then three-run game-winning home run in the ninth. So, Yasiel Puig going off tonight. There you go. And then Harper, three RBIs, two homers for the Nationals. We were talking about them. Ryan Braun with a grand slam in the Brewers' eight-run second inning. Robbie Cano. Cano, following up his All-Star MVP home run with a three-run shot to open up the second half. So there you go. Lots of action. Hanley Ramirez, a 400-foot moonshot over the Green Monster tonight. Just a lot of home runs tonight of note. So, yeah, Mafia, there were people talking about tonight here, and certainly I saw on Twitter today as we were another very exciting day at the Ferrella Palatial Part D. You were spending the entire day. Cleveland won it in overtime, 78-75 over the Raptors. Good game tonight in Vegas. So you spent the whole day there today, Mafia. And the move has been stressful, to say the least. I've done less than anyone to help. But
no, there's one person who's done less.
Fuego?
Yes.
So I'm second to last?
Well, your kids came home today, so I guess we could bump you up to fourth.
I'm fourth to last because they're both worthless, too. Yeah.
Once we finally found the video games, forget it.
Once you got the PS4, he was done. All he does is play video games and lay on his ass.
Yeah.
He's of no value. So I'm fourth to last in terms of productivity, but I did go get the new microwave and I got lunch.
You did.
I bought everyone lunch.
You did.
So I went and did the order, picked it up, the whole deal, placed it, and Talked to some fans at the lunch place.
But you didn't get all the ranch, so you failed.
I failed in not getting the ranch. I was blamed for that.
Who puts ranch on chicken?
Also, I got her mother food she never ate. She just threw it in the garbage.
Oh, I thought you just left all her stuff in drawers.
Oh, my God. What a disaster that is. Right? Is it not a disaster?
Total disaster.
But there were guys talking about tonight in here and on the Twitter today. I saw that because you showed it to me. And the video you showed me of me, whatever it was, 20-some years ago, right? At least 20 years ago.
Yeah, at least more than that.
25 years ago? What is it, 22 years?
Probably. I mean, it was when you said when you're San Francisco, right? That's like 30 years
94,
ago, isn't it?
94, 24, 214, 23 years?
Yeah.
23 years ago. So they showed on the Mike and the Mad Dog 30 for 30, they showed a clip of young Uncle Futrelli doing his thing out in San Francisco, I believe. When I was on TV on Sports Channel America, I did a national simulcast of my show on TV on the radio at KNBR. And that upset all the management there, got them all ruffled. And then I would, but I had huge ratings and I had a huge television audience across America. And they took a clip of me from, I guess two clips of me, right, Mafia, from the back in the day?
They did.
And I don't know what they were driving at there. I think, was it, Jay, that I was spawned from the Mike and the Mad Dog?
Because of the success of Mike and the Mad Dog.
That's why I exist.
Right. There's all these other, you know, wannabes.
Is that right?
So to speak.
That's funny to me. So I can tell you, I never listened to them once, ever. How's that sound? I totally respect what they did. I totally respect what they accomplished together. And I've never been one to not admit when people are good at what they do, and those guys are great at what they do. Without a doubt, they were fantastic at what they did. And they definitely put this place on the map, WFAN, on the map, no questions asked. But I can guarantee you I did not, I was not born because of them. You can say whatever you want. I was half crazy and wild and nuts on the radio long before I ever heard of them. I'm telling you, I was insane on the radio. I'd never heard of them. And I'd never, the first time I ever heard of them was when I was on WFAN for 5 years every night. That was the first time I ever heard of them. And our relationship was not good. I can tell you that. It was war. It was a war. And I was very good at insulting people. And they hated my guts. And I hated theirs. And that was it. I was young and crazy and immature. And I didn't care. But I told you the truth tonight. Later in life, I like Chris. I got along with him every day. You saw me over there. You worked with me over at Howard. You came over and did the show. He was always right next door to me. I got along great with the guy. I got no problem with him. So, but whatever. I just don't feel that was why I existed at all. Zero. I give that zero credit. Zero. Less than zero. It had nothing to do with me doing what I do. I was the first nationally syndicated sports talk host. That was it. Mel Karmazin put me on everywhere, 250 markets. I was on all the stations Howard Stern was on. That's how I got made, not because of Mike and the Mad Dog, I can guarantee you. So you can give all the credit wherever you want. That's what happened, and that's all there is to it. And Mel would say it, and then I'm sure the people here would not agree with that. But I don't care what they think either. So whatever. I was doing my thing out in L.A. I didn't even know him until they started talking bad about me. Once they started talking bad about me, I'm like, oh, so I got new enemies now? This is fantastic. Let's go. And then it was two against one, and I still kicked their ass when it came to being, not nice. Like, they were great at what they did. I was better at being mean, put it that way. I don't think it went over too well, though, with management, some of the things I said about them. Oh, well. Isn't it funny how life works out? I'm working here now all these years later, and I get along with one half of them. And it ain't the half that's here. But I can sit here and at least say, Jay, that I respect him and what he's accomplished, not only with Chris, but by himself. By himself. It doesn't matter what anyone thinks. Francesa dominated this market in sports talk, in the ratings, ever since, by himself. So hoorah, soldier, hoorah. The guy kicked everyone's ass. So I respect that. I just thought he killed everyone. And, you know, no matter what they're saying about him now and the ratings and the June book and all this other nonsense, he kicked everyone's ass. Not only did he kick their ass, he still won this book. But they're all talking about 1 month he didn't win. That's funny. 1 month he didn't win in 25 years. How pathetic are you that that's all you have to cling on to is your 1 month of success? Think about that. Go from the other end. You've won 1 month in 25 years. Congratulations. You're a rock star now, buddy. Thank God I watched those Yankee games with the volume off.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
So, Mavi, I think I'm 9-3 in baseball bets tonight so far, and there's still games going on.
You're so money and you don't even know it.
I don't even, like, it's really inexplicable how much cash I make people. Just picking winners. That's what I do. And I do it well. Anyway, I want to see these last few games that are going on. So the Giants, who are just deplorable, are beating the Padres 5-3 after 7. The Rays and Angels are tied at 1s in the, I think, going to the bottom of the ninth. And the A's lead the Indians. I got the A's rocking it, plus $1.35. I love that. They're up 5-0. So anyway, tons of baseball games all weekend, Mafia. There's going to be heavy action on PharrellOnTheBench.com in terms of those games. And then Daily Fantasy is rocking again for baseball. Nathan and Cali, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, Scotty?
Hey, Nate.
You hear me?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I was just talking about the Lakers, man. I think about it, man. The Cleveland Cavaliers, when LeBron James left, they were like, 23-19? And then when he came back, they won. Like, the improvement was like 30 games. So you're gonna add Paul George. You're gonna add him, maybe Cousins too. You're gonna see a lot of improvement.
Wait a minute. So I need to hear this again. You're telling me that, let's see, did he just say they're adding Paul George, Boogie Cousins? Who else is gonna go there? LeBron.
LeBron James. Yeah.
Okay, so all those guys are going to go play for the Lakers and Wizzo, and that's when is that happening? Next year?
Ingram.
Oh, and Ingram. All right, thanks. Oh, my God. I thought everything was under control tonight, Mafia. I thought we had everything under control. I thought we had it all figured out. We were golden. And that guy waited that long to talk to me, to tell me that? Do you believe any of that, Mafia, that any of that's happening, any of it? Name one piece that's going to – and, well, Ingram's already there.
Yeah, he's there, and so is Zoe.
So, but the other pieces. Do you believe Paul George, LeBron James, and Boogie are going there, all three of them?
I do, and we're all going to live in the lollipop forest with rainbows and, you know
– unicorns.
Zebras and unicorns, yeah. I mean, it's ridiculous. Oh, everyone's just going to go there. I hate any fan who does that for any team, whether it's the Lakers or – you know, growing up in New York all my life, I've heard that so often about all these New York teams. Anybody that's a big name, they're going to come to New York. Everyone wants to be in New York, the allure of New York.
Wrong.
I can't stand that. Just because you have a big, you know, franchise, a historic franchise, doesn't mean everyone's going to come to you. Because you know what? There's a thing called the salary cap. There's a thing called, you know, egos. And you know what? If you get enough guys, if you have a couple good players, other teams don't want to trade you their guys too, especially when you give them their, you know, your junk. What are you going to get for some of these guys? They're just going to release DeMarcus Cousins from New Orleans after they gave up a bunch of guys in the trade for him last year. LeBron's just going to go there and once again be, I mean, second fiddle to someone else on their team to try to win a championship.
Do you still believe that, I'm watching this game. Hold on a second. I'm watching this game, and there's a lady in the crowd right behind home plate, like, I don't know, off behind the dugout. And the Angels and Razor tied, right? 1-1. They're in the bottom of the ninth, and there's some lady standing up in the section right behind the dugout, and she's, like, her baby obviously is troubled or something, like the baby's crying or screaming, and so she's doing the old, you know, the movement thing where everybody thinks.
Yeah, like bouncing up and down, rocking them, things like that.
Yeah, that's exactly it. So they think that you can drive a car and it makes them, calms them down or whatever. And then if they're screaming and crying, just stand up and like shake, you know, sit there and bounce and everything like that.
Yeah, but bounce, don't shake.
Okay, but the thing I'm noticing is that she's just doing it in front of everyone. Like, so no one, people can't even watch the game. She's like standing in the middle of the section right behind the dugout, just, and she won't sit down. She's just, and everybody else is just sitting there looking at her like, what are you doing? Like, go somewhere else and do this. She finally sat down. Somebody had to have yelled something. Sit down in front, Ayata. Like, come on, take your baby out in the concourse and do it, right? What would you do, Mafia? Some chicks just stood up in the middle of the game in the bottom of the ninth, 1-1 game, and you're sitting in $500 seats and some chick's bouncing her baby in the section, standing up in front of everyone. You can't even see the picture. You can't even see the play. Some chick's bouncing her baby. What do you do? What do you do in that situation?
You'd probably have to yell. I mean, in that situation, when it's such a close
down
game, so
front,
late, you know, high-priced seats, you got to yell something because that's just a selfish fan. Not to mention, I mean, I got to give her some credit. Like, she doesn't want to leave the game. She wants to see what's going on herself. She's not going to leave the game. But you're essentially putting the game in front of your kid. And probably the reason the kid's upset and that you need to rock him and balance him and calm him down is because it's so loud, because it's a huge situation in the game as it is. So, obviously, you got to take it out of the noise. But she's such a selfish mom. She wants to see the team, what they're doing.
Maybe the kid's crying because Mike Trout's back in the lineup. They scored more runs without him.
I know. I think most Angel fans would cry tears of joy over that.
Wow. So did you hear this story that you gave me? Olympic gold medalist Gil Roberts, who was suspended in May for a positive drug test, has had that decision reversed by an arbiter who upheld the sprinter's defense that the drug was in his system due to frequent and passionate kissing of his girlfriend. A pro since 09, Roberts was part of the U.S. 4x400 relay team that won gold in Rio. In March, he tested positive for a drug. And in May, the U.S. Anti-Doping Agency said his B-sample also tested positive. The case went to an arbiter. As part of the evidence, the stepfather of Roberts' girlfriend said she was in India a few weeks before the March test and came down with a sinus infection. A local chemist there directed her to take one capsule of Moxilong per day for a period of 2 weeks. The woman continued to take the medicine when she returned to the U.S., breaking the capsule apart and pouring its contents into her mouth before swallowing with water. This is all alleged. USADA said the sides told the arbiter that Roberts and Salazar kissed frequently and passionately when they were together, including on March 24th, when Roberts was initially tested. Salazar ingested the medicine that afternoon. The two kissed after that, and the doping officer arrived 3 hours later. Salazar was unsure how many times they kissed between when she took the medicine and when Roberts was tested. Roberts testified that he did not know that kissing his girlfriend could lead to a positive test, nor did he know she was taking Moxilong. Thus, for Roberts, it must have been like lightning out of a clear blue sky for him to learn that by kissing his girlfriend this time, that he was exposing himself to a prohibited substance. Roberts has met his burden of proof, the USADA said in its ruling. Can you believe that?
That is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard, and I think that's why he got off. That the arbiter said, really? This is the excuse you come up with? This is how elaborate your lie is? You know what? You deserve this, because, first of all, I don't care where I am. Anybody whose profession is described as a chemist is not the person I'm going to cure my illness. A chemist makes meth, not makes me better. And then the fact that, oh, she poured it in her mouth, washed away with water, but still making out with her made me have a tainted sample. Come on. That's the most ridiculous thing I have ever heard.
So how many guys now in baseball and the NFL are going to say they make out a lot with their fiance or their wife or their girlfriend or their mistress, and they failed the drug test?
Right. Forget the old tainted supplement excuse. Now it's going to be tainted lovers.
Tainted lovers you know, French kiss.
What's going to be next? Like, oh, well, I found out my girlfriend cheated on me, and the guy she cheated on me with did steroids, and that's how it got in my system?
Yeah. That one's automatic. I love it, man. The guy got off saying that he failed a drug test because he made out passionately with his girlfriend a lot. So, be careful who you make out with.
You know, we've heard of athletes abstaining from action before competition because it weakens the legs. Apparently, it also taints your samples. So now, no making out with your, you know, your lover for first couple weeks before you get tested, because she might be taking something from a chemist in Bangladesh that gets you popped for, you know, positive test.
And a B-side test.
Yeah.
Wow. So I got to tell you, we've been talking about it tonight. Your boy Floyd Mayweather under the gun. Everyone's mad at him, including an LGBT group firing back at Mayweather for his homophobic slur in London at the presser today, saying his reason behind using the word is complete BS. I'll tell you what happened. When we come back, there was a lot of name-calling, a lot of profanities, a lot of vulgarities. You won't believe his excuse.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.